This is my younger son, Jesse. He's now 15 years old and obviously taller than me. Go that way. This is Ethan. He's our oldest son. He's 18. Do I tell you how old you are? She's the same age as me. Hey, this is our family, and maybe for those of you that were here about 7 weeks ago, Marie and Johanna and Liam were here visiting, so you might have seen there. So our daughter was here just a few weeks ago, and she's 21. So this is our family, and we are Kiwis, okay? We're not Australians. All right, you can go sit down. Right. I'm going to split this morning into two different areas. The first one is a bit about our family, because for some of you, you do know us because we used to fellowship here a long time ago. So we're just going to have a bit of a catch-up on our family, and then the second half will be about MAF, what we do and where we serve. Right, so the one on the top left, that was the day we left New Zealand 6 years ago to go to MAF. So you can see how short Jesse was there, and Ethan. So that was an exciting and a sad day, it really was. But we knew God had plenty for us in store ahead. And the one down the bottom right was only taken just a few months ago. Right, so Johanna, for those of you that didn't get to meet her, she's 21 and she works currently at Brumby's Bakery in a local town that we're at. She loves animals, but she's actually, we found out, allergic to some animals. So that explains some of her eczema. So that's a prayer need, please, eczema for Johanna. And but she loves animals, and she's got this dog that she's just entered into obedience, dog training and obedience and agility, and she's just loving it. Ethan, it's his last year at high school this year, so year 12 for us, but probably 13, I believe, here, or form 7 for us older people. So another prayer point is for Ethan. He would love to go to university, but for us as New Zealand citizens, the costs are a lot more over there, plus he can't get a student loan. But I understand if he comes back here, I think the first year is free at university, is that correct? So we've definitely got some thinking about, and Ethan does, about what happens in the future for him. But he loves all that brainy stuff that I can't work out. He's taken two maths and a physics and chemistry and things like that. Yeah. But yeah, please pray for him for that, with wisdom of what he should do next year. And young Jesse, he's still got 2 years left at high school. He works locally, like at a Foursquare, but it's our local little food works there, packing shelves and sometimes serving people, which is really good, so he's saving a bit of pocket money. But for Jesse, please pray for him too with his future. He has said that he wants to stay in Australia. So for us as a family, we still need to decide, what are we going to do? Because in 2 years' time, when Jesse finishes, do we come back to New Zealand? Do we finish serving with MAF? So again, we ask from a prayer point of view that you'd pray for wisdom and guidance from God on that for us. And of course, we have an extended family. So we've actually got three dogs, three cats, three Muscovy ducks, fish, a bird. Well, Johanna's got the bird. And so that's Johanna's dog that does agility. That's Liam, Johanna's boyfriend's dog. So it keeps us busy, doesn't it? Yes. Okay, so what do I get up to when I'm not at MAF? Fixing cars. For some uncanny reason, our cars are forever breaking down, so I'm forever working on vehicles. At Christmas time, our little town of Yungaburra really gets into the swing of Christmas lights, and so the top one is the Christmas lights I put out at night, and you see I have a manger scene in the middle. And at Easter time, I put out the cross, and an empty cross, because Christ has risen, hasn't he? So that's a bit about what I get up to. Oh, and the bottom one, we do have a little, I'm not allowed to say tinny because it means something different, doesn't it, Jesse? So we have a little wee boat, and it's got a little 3.5 horsepower on the back of it. But the lake is just only a few minutes down the road from us, so we go down there and we try and fish. We haven't caught any, but I think it's because God wants us to be fishers of men and not fishers of fish. So that's what I get up to. Marie, yeah, come on, you can explain this one. Or you can stand next to me.
Oh. He puts me on the spot, doesn't he? Yeah, some of my time I volunteer at a place in Atherton near where we live. It's run by churches around Atherton. We have like an op shop where people donate goods which we sell, and the money goes back to the community as food parcels and a free food pantry and baby packs and things like that. So I'm involved in that a bit, and also I do a craft there once a month on first Friday of the month. So when I get back, I'll be doing a craft. So those are just some of the crafts Kerry's put up there that we've done over the years. But yeah, it keeps me busy, and I also involved with a ladies' Bible study, a KYB Bible study. Don't know if any of you know that. So yeah, and with housework and stuff, I'm kept pretty busy. The years have gone very fast, really. So yeah, thank you.
You're welcome. Right, church life for us has changed a little bit since we've been there. When we first went there 6 years ago, we attended and fellowshiped at a Presbyterian church for 2 years, and we really needed that at that stage, because Johanna, being 15 years old when we left, and her words to me was, "I hate you, Dad, for taking me away from New Zealand, away from my friends," and it was really hard for her. But these group of friends from this Presbyterian church just gathered around her, and for the 2 years, they just really encouraged her, and it was really amazing just to have that support. But 4 years ago, we did change churches, and we shifted to the Atherton Baptist Church. And so that's been exciting. I've been involved in different ministries in that. And the leadership of the team there had been looking at and praying about a church plant, which was really exciting. And after a few years of praying and looking around, the leadership team, we decided that Youngerborough was the place that we'd like to plant a church. And that happens to be where we live, which was really exciting. And so just over a year ago, there was a church plant into Youngerborough. So 7 families left the Atherton Baptist, and God planted this church. And it's just been so amazing. Youngerborough is a population of 1,200, which is quite exciting to be involved in a small little community. And so since we've been there, our Easter Sunday service, we had down at the lake, which again is only a few minutes down the road. So within, there was probably hundreds of boaties and people all in the lake that saw us having this service about Christ. So it was really exciting. And the top left one, we had the first Christmas carols in many years in Youngerborough. So the church ran that, and we had about 350 people come. So that was really exciting to do that. And that one up there is just us at church. Now we use the local primary school hall for church. So that's, we have to set up everything in the morning, we have the service, and then we pack everything away. But I think that gives character to the people as part of their service to God. And down the bottom, that was an exciting day for us. Johanna, our daughter, got baptised last year. So that's at one of the waterfalls that's local. So that was really exciting to see that. Now, obviously, you can't go past Australia without seeing or getting close to some of these things. So this is my favourite. It's a golden orb spider. That was my friend for a month. I would feed it a moth every night in the back porch, much to Marie's disgust, because the web was really huge and covered part of the walkway. And so who's been to Australia before? Who's seen spiders and snakes and that? Okay, this one here is a big walking stick, which I didn't realise has wings, and it's huge. And the video of that is crawling all across this girl's hair, but she loved that. And one exciting story, well, maybe it wasn't. 4 o'clock in the morning, I had to go and visit the boys' room. And I just walked back into the bedroom, and all of a sudden our dog was scurrying across the floor and started barking, and we thought, what the heck? So I got up and I looked down the hall, and I could see this thing going down the hall. And there was a snake, oh, it wasn't too big, about that long, going down the hall. So yeah, we've had some close encounters, but we managed to get that one outside. Now, this is the prayer, or the verse that we've chosen on our prayer card. For we are God's handiwork, created in Christ Jesus to do good works which God prepared in advance for us to do. And we know if we look at the nine verses previous this, the first three talk about our state before God and how we deserved the wrath of God, didn't we? And it describes our nature, which isn't very nice, and we still see it in the world today. But then we come to verse 4, and God's got this but right there, and his love and his mercy is so great for us, isn't it? And he's transformed us, and he's put us in the heavenly realms. And even in Jude, verse 24, it talks about we are presented faultless with great joy. It's amazing, isn't it? And then at the end of that, we have verse 10. And so when we look at where we've come from, and we look at what God has done for us and transformed our lives, we get an opportunity to serve him. And you know what? It says here that it's even prepared in advance for us. So for us as a family, at the moment, that means serving with MAF. For you, that could be serving your neighbour, could be serving within your work. So for us, that's a real encouraging verse to realise what God's done for us, and what we can do is lay our lives down and serve him. And so that brings us on to a bit about, I'm going to talk about MAF. Right, before I go on, I need to say thank you to this church in particular, Church on Vogel. We want to thank you for your prayers for us especially. We want to thank you for the financial support that you have been giving us. Because as a missionary, the pay is not the highest, but you know what? God's taught us so many lessons to actually cope with what we have and to be thankful with what we have. And that's a tough lesson for me, isn't it, Marie, sometimes? So we do thank you. But you know what? 28 years ago, in this church, and we need to give thanks for the elders, certainly Richard Printon, Howard Heap and others, we had missionary conferences here. And Marie and I were only married 1 year, and we had an MAF pilot come and speak here about MAF. And that just put a passion in me, because I loved aeroplanes. And we knew someday, somewhere, that we would serve MAF. That took 24 years later to happen, as God took us through a journey in life. And I transformed from being a car mechanic, a parts person, then I joined Air New Zealand and worked for them for 13 years, getting into the aviation industry. And then 7 years ago, we had another missionary come at our home church in Paraparaumu, Coast Community Church, and they shared about MAF again, and it just exploded that passion. And we knew it was time to go and serve with MAF. So I just want to thank you for the past, for here, for seeing that missions were so important. But MAF, what is MAF? Mission Aviation Fellowship. As you saw in the video, MAF use small aeroplanes to reach isolated people all around the world. And some of the statistics are quite big. We do have between 130 and 140 aircraft worldwide. Up there it said, I think, 28 countries, but at the moment we're in 32 countries that MAF serve in, a lot of the African. There is a MAF US, which is separate to our MAF International, which is MAF, and they deal with a lot of the South American countries and still some down the bottom of South Africa. But MAF is like a link in the chain. Okay, so MAF don't have doctors, MAF don't have the sick people, but MAF have the planes that can get help to where it's needed. They can take the doctor. In fact, just 2 days ago, in one of the African countries, MAF took 10 eye surgeons, and there were 1,500 cataract operations performed in a village that would never have got any health ever in their life. And so that's amazing. 1,500 people got their sight restored. PNG, we have lots of pregnant ladies that have issues with birth. MAF are able to medevac them. East Timor or Timor-Leste, depending on what you want to call it, but MAF really have the only two planes in the whole country. But MAF predominantly do medical evacuations there, and with lots of NGOs, they help. In fact, just recently there was the New Zealand government, the ambassador was there looking at a project that New Zealand's involved in, and that was putting a well in a village so they could have fresh water. Communities in PNG, schools, MAF deliver that. Fruit and veggies, they help transport them for some countries just to help give an income for the markets. But ultimately, we get to share the gospel. One of the videos I'm not going to show, but the one that actually made me cry, which is a video, it's a 10-minute one about this village getting the New Testament in their language for the first time in West Papua, in the Indonesia side. You know what? How many versions do you have of the Bible at home? Do you have it on your phone, on your tablet, on your computer? Three or four versions probably in print around the house. These people treated the Word of God like royalty. They respected the Word of God. And that put me to shame. I have it in all sorts of forms and sometimes I ignore it. So that was just really exciting. That's just another part that MEF have, has been able to take translators in and out of country, different places. So yes, MEF is a link in the chain with a lot of other organisations. Where does MAF serve? So the brown countries are the ones where MEF either have a resource group or are serving into those countries. And there is a few up here which are not brown for a reason, but safety reasons. But it's just amazing when you think about at the end of World War II, a couple of people that God put on their hearts to serve them with aeroplanes by not killing people but by serving people. And that's what happened in 1948, MAF started. Right, what do I do within MAF? So, 6 years ago, I went over as an aircraft engineer because that's what I did for Air New Zealand. So I served in the workshop for 1 year. And then there was an opportunity to go indoors as a support staff, and that was for safety and quality. So currently I am the safety and quality manager for our maintenance facility, which is at Mareeba, and I'll show you where that is in a minute. And our maintenance certificate covers top of Australia, which is Arnhem Land Gove, and East Timor. So that's what I do for that. Sometimes I get called a policeman, but unfortunately that's the role I have. I need to keep the engineers and the engineering department accountable to regulations and rules, and that way we get to keep our certificate and keep going. So, Mareeba is there. It's just an hour and a half inland from Cairns, or Cairns for you Australians, but Cairns for us Kiwis. Arnhem Land is actually all this top bit up here, the homelands for Aboriginal, for the Yolngu people, and East Timor is just actually up there. But I've had a great privilege of being able to go to Mongolia, Uganda, Mount Hagen and PNG, and East Timor, serving, doing audits. And it's just a privilege. And the one that was probably the hardest to get to, to understand, you see these videos and you see how people are in need around the world, but it's not till you actually get there that it actually touches your heart. And that's what happened at East Timor. I went to East Timor, the roads are filled with potholes, and there were kids on little rubbish dumps looking for food and clothing. And that's when it really, and I was probably there 3 years before that happened at MAF, that's when it touched my heart, how impactful MAF can be in a community. Okay, there's Mareeba. It's an airfield from World War II. And I'll describe the difference. That's our old maintenance base. Okay, so that's our old hangar, it's our offices, and it's our old paint shop. We had the privilege of being able to go into a brand new hangar. These ones were leased, they weren't built for purpose, and they were just lots of little buildings put together, and it was temporary for 18 years. And in the winter, my roof would leak on my desk because the roof was had it, and also the leases were about to come up, so it was an opportunity for MAF in Mareeba to go to some new buildings. So Mareeba, just for reference, we do maintenance on the aircraft on the bigger checks, so 3,000-hour checks on an aeroplane, Timor-Leste, Arnhem Land, and even some PNG planes will fly to us and we will do maintenance on them, the real big checks. But daily, there are engineers in all those other places that keep the plane flying daily, but we do the big ones. We take the wings off, we take the engines out, we repaint them, we do everything. Okay, that was our old hangar. It was noisy, it was very hot, and it would get to 38 degrees in there, and the sun would radiate through the roof. It was really, really a struggle in the summertime for us to work in there. But through God challenging peoples all around New Zealand and around the world, God's provided funding for two brand new hangars, a maintenance one and a paint hangar. And so we've shifted down the other end of the runway into these brand new buildings. But we've had the privilege of being able to serve in this new hangar. And so that gives us opportunities to have more aircraft in at once. It gives us the opportunity to train engineers, which we've got a couple starting soon. We have an opportunity, as management call it, the centre of excellence. The other thing that's been an advantage is across the road from the hangar, someone has gifted us 12 acres of property right across the road. So that allows us to work on our community side of MAF, so we're going to be building housing for the pilots that come to train, because MAF also down at the airport here do pilot training. So private, commercial and dual engine training. So if you want to become a pilot, we do that also. Right, I mentioned before, top of Australia, Arnhem Land. So that's our V2 tracking program we use just to keep an eye on the aeroplanes. Rich in iron ore, little wee round balls of that they convert into aluminium. The whole Northern Territory up there is like that. So MAF have the privilege of serving many communities. And because the communities for Aboriginal would like to be taught a lot in their old traditional style, so MAF do a lot of flying in and out with medical teams and with schooling. And so we've been up there just over 40 years, actually. It's quite amazing. Timor-Leste, East Timor. I just mentioned before that's an island, obviously the top out of a couple hundred k's from Australia. We have the only two aeroplanes, like I mentioned. They definitely need your prayer, because about 4 weeks ago, their office completely burnt down. So that sort of was a struggle at first. I'm not sure if you can see, but we've actually got a whole lot of 20-foot and 40-foot containers as our workshop and stores and office. So fortunately, the fire was contained within one, that one was a 40-foot container office. But still, it took all our infrastructure away. So please pray for Timor-Leste and the team there. There's a Kiwi from Christchurch, Nick Hitchens, and his family are leading that. So we definitely need your prayers. But again, MAF serve at the moment six different areas around East Timor. So who likes aeroplanes? Yes, so do I. I always wanted to be a pilot when I left school. So these are some of the aeroplanes that MAF worldwide. So I'm not sure, this top one you might have seen at Festival 1 at the Fielding, what do they call it here, Fielding Ag, yeah, agricultural one. Field days. Yeah, Field Days, that's right. You might have seen it there, because they have had the plane over there. But these are some of the aeroplanes we fly. This one here is in Bangladesh. It's our amphibious one. We definitely need prayers for Bangladesh as well. We've just closed that program, and now we're trying to get that aeroplane and a new one that's there out of the country. But, of course, everything takes such a long time if you don't pay bribe money. And, of course, MAF are choosing not to do that. They want to show what Christ wants in our lives. And so we're really struggling to get those planes just out of the country. We can't get the certificate signed so we can leave at the moment. So, again, that's a prayer need. Please pray for that. Currently, Arnhem Land have these GA8s, 8-seater aircraft, and they have one Cessna Caravan. PNG have, at the moment, they've got all brand-new caravans. Now, that's a grand caravan, so the ones up there are just slightly shorter. But, again, the cost these days, you know how much fuel costs here in New Zealand. It's horrendous for petrol. And so the piston aircraft are becoming harder. That one, and this one are becoming harder to fly from a cost point of view, because it's even just harder to get in PNG to get fuel around the country. So we're looking nationally and internationally to go towards turbine engines. So that's going to be exciting for engineers. They're looking for the newest ones. So this one here. This young man here has been serving MAF for over 25 years in Africa, in different countries. He has such a rapport with the kids. I had the opportunity to meet him when I was in Uganda. And everywhere he goes, the kids just love him. And he's not stealing a kid like I was told, and they're trying to chase him. He's just having lots of fun. But you know what? MAF don't just need pilots and don't just need engineers. MAF need support staff in the office. We need storemen. We need finance, IT. There's plenty of opportunity within MAF for anyone to serve. We even have now retired people coming back to help serve at Treetops, which is a motel in Cairns itself, half owned by MAF and Wycliffe Bible Translators. And that place is an amazing opportunity for people that just want to have a rest, a holiday. A lot of medical procedures are done in Cairns, so they'll come down from PNG or East Timor. There's opportunities anywhere to serve with MAF. And I'm asking you, maybe you've been thinking about missions for a long time. Maybe God's just impressed on you that you need to serve in a different country. There are opportunities with MAF to do that. So for us at MAF, for Marie and I as a family, we followed the call of God. It did take 24 years for that to happen, but we are there, we are serving. But there are times and seasons, so we as a family ask that you'll pray for us with regards to our future. How long do we stay there? Do we come back to New Zealand? Do we stay in Australia? It's purely up to where God wants us, but we ask that you'll do that. But I thank you for the opportunity this morning for being able to share. We do have some MAF promotional out the back on the table in the back room there. If you'd like to ask or know more, please come and see me, see Marie. Please make the boys welcome here this morning. That would be really good if you just have a chat with them and ask them what it's like living in Australia. But I do thank you again for letting us come and show what MAF does, what we do as a family, and for supporting us. It's been a blessing. Thank you.
Thanks for that. I just wonder if we could have maybe two elders or someone around, sorry to put you on the spot, just come up and maybe pray for Kerry and the family and the ministry as a whole. And yeah, that'd be awesome. Just grab one of those.
All right, let's pray. Heavenly Father, we honour you most of all because you are everything. You have called us. You have provided the way. But we also want to honour those who go out from among us, often at great personal sacrifice, Lord, to go and serve in difficult places. And so we ask your rich blessing upon Kerry and the family. We ask that you provide for their needs, Lord, their spiritual needs, their physical needs, the needs for fellowship and just everything that they need. We ask for your great blessing, and we ask for joy in the midst of difficult situations. We pray that you will give them your great joy and assurance and peace.
Father, I just thank you for the testimony of just normal people who say yes to you, who say yes to your call, who lay down their lives and honour you with their lives as their Lord and as their King. And Father, I just thank you for the testimony of Kerry and his family. Lord, thank you for their inspiring stories and that you will bring many more to them, Lord, both for them and for their children. Father, I just want to commend them into your care. I pray for them and I pray for their children, Lord, that they also would have that sense of your deep call, your wonderful call upon their lives, that they would know where they also are to slot into your kingdom. So, Father, I just want to thank you for this morning. I thank you for the inspiration that it is to us. And I pray for any here, Lord, that you may be calling through this testimony. Lord, I pray you'd give them no rest. I pray that you would continue to knock on the door of their hearts and say, and tell them that, yes, this is for you. And so, Father, we just pray that this would be a fruitful morning in many ways that will bear fruit for many years to come. In Jesus' name.